This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is an Extra 106.3 podcast. To hear more live and local content like this, tune into 106.3 FM or download the Extra 106.3 app. Extra 106.3 would like to welcome you home. This is the All Four Seasons Home Show with Jim Niarchos and Dan Watkins, only on Extra 106.3 FM.
Good morning. You are listening to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show. I'm your co-host, Chris Lalamia, filling in for Jim and Dan. Dan is off out there trying to take care of all your garage and home entry door needs. At All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors, those guys have been taking care of you for the last 25 years. That's right, 25 years in business. That's a true testament to the team of being able to provide world-class service here in Atlanta that you can enjoy. So today we have a special guest. We have the general manager from Lightning Bug Electric, Jason Radford, in here to talk about all things electrical. Because as we know, the electrical components in our home, if you don't know this, I'm going to tell you this, they're the scariest. That's the ones that can burn your house down, man. And that's the stuff I'm always scaredest about because I've shocked myself way too many times. So Jason, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, Chris, and it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Jason, how long have you been an electrician?
Going on 25 years.
So you've seen a lot, been through a lot, done a lot. Now you're the general manager of the Lightning Bug Electric Company here in Atlanta, servicing all of Metro Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Why did you get into the business?
There's also a saying that goes out, did the business choose you or did you choose the business? The business chose me when I was 12, playing video games, dropped a penny on an AC adapter. And it blew the main breaker. And right then my mother was like, you're going to be an electrician. I'm like, no, I'm not. Well, all those years later, I'm an electrician, licensed electrician, general manager. So, yeah, it's an interesting story on how the business chose me.
That definitely chose you. I have been chosen that way, but I chose to run right away from it. And that was growing up in a house that was built in 1910, and one of the old wires had fallen in our cellar, and we were trying to get the water out that had leaked up in Michigan, and it fell in the puddle that I was standing in. Mm. So needless to say, I had a lot of fun getting away from electricity, and I have never looked back since. It is cheaper for me to call anybody else to work on anything electrical. Yet, of course, I still try, and of course, I still shock myself. So, as an electrician,
yes,
there's some things we can DIY.
Yep.
What things do you think some people could DIY?
Basic switches and outlets that would go into a home, that would probably be about it. A lot of the stuff, breaker panels and stuff like that, people will just walk into your local box store and grab a breaker off the shelf that don't quite frankly belong in that panel box.
That's a great point. I think a lot of people see that big off switch up there on a panel,
yep,
and then they unscrew the panel,
yep,
and they go, hey, look, it's a breaker. It just pops in and out. I can do that. But there's a lot of nuances to it. Talk us through a little bit of those nuances.
Sure. It goes along with anything in life. You know, if you're working on a car, a Ford, and you want to put a Chevy part on it, it may work for a little bit, but it's not going to work correctly. And it's the same thing with any kind of breaker panel inside your home. They basically tell you inside what needs to go in there. And, you know, as electricians, we're bound by the National Electrical Code. And it states that, you know, we're supposed to be putting in the right stuff with the right equipment at all times to keep personnel safe at all times.
When you get into a panel, let's say, and they say they call you out as an electrician, what are some of the common mistakes you've seen DIY or anybody doing?
Yeah, basically different manufacturers and different kinds of panels is big. Oversizing, you know, when my grandfather was growing up, they just put a penny in a fuse box, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, that penny wouldn't do anything for them, but never bust a fuse. Same thing with a breaker. If they've got stuff that they're using, they'll go get a bigger breaker, put it on the wire, and, you know, it could lead to some very serious issues in the home.
When you say oversized, what's that mean? It's a common guy, lay guy. What's that? When you said oversized, I don't get it.
Yeah, so just to put it in perspective, there's different size wires that are put inside of a residential home, and they only are equipped to use a certain amount of amperage going through that circuit breaker. So just for, I don't want to get too technical, but let's just say it's something that's basically for lights, and you start plugging in a space heater and it starts tripping the circuit breaker. Well, you know, you pull that panel cover off, they see that breaker tripping, they see a 15 on it, and the next thing you know, they're coming going to one of the big box stores and putting a 20 on it.
Okay.
And so that's where problems start to arise, because that wire is not rated for the excess amperage that would go through a significantly higher size breaker.
Yeah, but if I go get the 20 amp, I put it in, my space heater works, right?
Correct.
But you mentioned the wires.
Yes. So
that's the stuff behind the walls.
Yes.
What happens to it when it's starting to run too much through it?
Well, basically, one of our biggest calls are people plugging in space heaters and it starts to cook the wires behind the walls and then the boxes. And so what you would start seeing is some lights flickering in a room that you've got a space heater plugged into or anything along those lines, and we'll pull out receptacles and they'll be crispy. They'll be burnt to a crisp because of those kind of things.
Yeah, and burning behind walls, not good, everybody. That's the thing with the sizing and the breakers and the panels. That's definitely something you want to leave up to a licensed electrician. So as you get into the panels, what are some of the new breakers that you're seeing? And tell us how they would help us.
Well, the biggest has been arc fault breakers, which are help to prevent, say, fires behind a wall. So when your house was built and it was roughed, and what I mean by roughed is no sheetrock, just bare studs, there could be a staple or something that's drove through a wire that a normal circuit breaker wouldn't catch. And as heat builds up, this breaker starts to detect that and it'll trip off. And they actually give you codes now on the breakers as far as blinking is concerned on what's wrong with it. What kind of trip is it? Is it a ground fault? Is it a... you know, an arc fault, a direct short, anything along those lines. These breakers are getting smarter and smarter by the day.
Yeah, that's a long way from the penny, right?
Correct.
And I grew up in the penny age, by the way.
So. Yeah.
I've seen them, and guilty. We've done them.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me these things blink like and give you codes and
yes.
Tell you exactly where to go.
Yes.
That sounds like something that would be pretty smart to put in somebody's home, yeah?
100%.
Do I need to upgrade my entire panel, or can we just change out the breakers? What's involved in doing that?
We can change out the breakers for you and just put them in. And if it starts to trip, you know, right when we energize that circuit breaker, if it trips, and there was already a problem on that circuit that we put that on. And those are what those things are there to prevent. We call them life safety equipment, because it definitely prevents the loss of life and the loss of property.
That's a great phrase, life safety equipment. Another way to think about it, a lot of times, and I challenge my own team at the Trusted Toolbox, I mean, what are we doing today? Well, I'm fixing some wood rot, or I'm changing some drywall.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're giving people back either time or their space that they had that they couldn't have before. And what you're talking about is saving people's lives.
Yes.
I mean, you think about that as you train your electricians. I know you guys are really into training as well, and you train your guys constantly. You talk about these new products and the life-saving equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to finish my basement, and it's never been finished. I got studs down there, but I'm just going to wire it myself. I'm going to be my own GC.
Mm-hmm.
What are some common things that we should be looking for before we do that? Because I know we should call you, and I know you should do this.
Yes.
But what should you guys be doing so that somebody who thinks they're going to be their own GC in a basement needs to know that their electrician is going to do for them?
If you're going to be your own GC, please pull a permit on that to get an electrical inspector in there to look at what you're doing. I'm not saying homeowners aren't qualified to do what they're supposed to be doing, but there's a reason why we're experts and plumbers and HVAC are the experts in there. People are competent in doing what they want to do, but at the end of the day, I would never suggest a homeowner to wire their own basement, ever.
I 100% agree. That's just one you shouldn't do. You hit on one, and the reason he answered the way he did is it's so important, because I just ran up against a lady who 4 years ago GC'd her own basement, and she just had her heating and air put in, and she did not get her heating and air passed because the heating and air contractor pulled a permit, but the electrical and all the work down there was not pulled.
Yep.
So we were called and asked to come in and evaluate what was going on. and worked with the municipality, and the municipality said, you'll have to take it all down so we can look at it, so we can go ahead and properly rate and review for their home safety. Yep. Again, life-saving equipment, home safety, had to pull the permit. So we're looking at an incredible amount of money because this person did not go and pull their own permit. Yes, you can pull your own permit, but you need to, because your electricians, your plumbers, your mechanicals pull underneath that permit. Mm-hmm. Your carpenters, your drywall guys, if we have to permit, we will. But usually you've got to have your own. And that's a big deal for somebody who's thinking about DIYing their own basement or their own build out.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot of times where the municipalities will come in and tell them to tear off all their sheetrock. They want to see it. And, you know, and it costs a lot of money for other GCs or contractors to come into the homes and do that. Or if you've got troubleshooting issues from a person that wired their own basement, now you got to get into their head on how they wired it to see if you can find the problem. So I'll always suggest call a licensed professional.
So when we're doing these basements, how often would you say a sub-panel is added?
Depending on what you're going to put in there. I would say about 50-50. You know, if you're going to put a pool outside, your features for a pool, hot tub, anything along those lines, or anything generally electric, if you're doing electric heat downstairs, that's important because, you know, gas doesn't pull any kind of electricity. It's just a small little circuit. But once you start talking 240-volt electric heat, sub-panels are usually involved, and a lot of times service upgrades are involved.
I think that's a great point on what you brought up, is that I brought up the example of GCing your own basement because mm-hmm. we want to talk about this. But in anything, when you bring in a licensed electrician, I think you need to have a good idea of what you think your needs are going to be down the road.
Yes.
Oh, hey, Jason, I'm thinking about putting in a pool. I think about putting in a hot tub. I want to have an outdoor grilling center. You need to know that so that you can help guide them through the process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those is that if I know what you're looking at in the future, then I can provide you with the proper power for the future. If it's just a common conversation, I need this sub panel here, and I put in a basic sub panel, I may not be able to put the power in there for you.
Man, that's been great advice. So we've been talking all things panel, a lot of things that we shouldn't be. But after the break, we're going to get back. We're going to really let Jason talk about how to best use his company, maybe give you some ideas of what you can do in the rest of the house. Jason and the Lightning Bug Electric team standing ready to help you with all your electrical needs. You are listening to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show, brought to you by Dan Watkins and the team over at All Four Seasons. We'll be back right after this.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show, brought to you by the team over at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. They've been doing it for over 25 years and have impeccable ratings. I will tell you that I've used their service, and I've been in other contracted houses where they do their service. They do a great job. You want to give them a call. Dan Watkins is our sponsor, and Dan's not with us today. I am filling in today, and I am Chris Lalamia, Atlanta's favorite handyman with the Trusted Toolbox. Go check us out at thetrustedtoolbox.com. We can help you out with all your handyman needs. But we're not here to talk about me or Dan. We're here to talk about all things Sparky Electric. From Lightning Bug Electric, we have the general manager, Jason Radford. Jason, last segment we were talking about panels and the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got some other DIY things we can do, right? I can change out a light on a vanity, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So a lot of these vanities around here, especially in the Marietta area or whatever, built in the 90s, maybe 2000s. I take out my vanity light and I see the wires just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just wire up my light and put it right back up, right?
Yes, but you 100% you could. But I'll say this, that a lot of things where it's DIY with a vanity light is hooking up that bare conductor, that ground, just in case something were to happen. We need to bond that to the shell of the light fixture. We need to bond it to make sure that it's connected with the house wiring as well. That's one of the biggest things that we've seen is with DIYs is please hook up that green ground.
That's a great point. The other one that I've seen that I know you know is that if there's nothing behind there, perhaps what we like to call the sparker arrestor,
yep,
something that maybe look blue at, yep, the big box stores or maybe steel, depending on it. If there's not one there, that's not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of those that don't. Back in the day, we were required to put a box behind it. There's a lot of fixtures now that are self-contained that you don't need the box, but I will always maintain put a box behind it because if something were to happen, you've got that extra wire back there in that box that you can either extend and make it accessible the whole nine yards. But yeah, I see that a lot with the boxes, the metal boxes. I've actually seen them to where previous electricians have actually screwed their boxes into the drain lines of a home going in the middle of a sink. So that's one of those. We pull those boxes out and see how tarnished those screws are from the sewage coming from the upstairs.
Let's another great DIY as we're getting into the spring and summer seasons and what happens is it gets warm in the house and we might need a ceiling fan. How difficult or easy is that? And it's great from 1 to 10. 10 being I got to be a perfect electrician, licensed and everything.
Well, it's actually a 3. A ceiling fan is very easy to put together. The connections are very easy to put together color to color. However, the biggest thing is to look is to make sure that you've got a box that's rated for the weight of a ceiling fan. Because the one thing that you don't want to do is to hang that ceiling fan on a basic box and it fall on you in the middle of the night. So basically all ceiling fans need to be installed with what we call a 1032 screw. And they're specifically designed for the weight of a ceiling fan and the force as the fan's going through not to pull it out of the wall.
I think that's a great point. So it has to be rated for a ceiling fan. I can't just take a light in my den or in my office where I'm working and put in a ceiling fan. I got to make sure that the box is going to hold that thing that's going to be up there because it's obviously a lot heavier than most lamps, yeah?
100%. It's I've seen them on cut-in boxes, remodel boxes. I really have. I was looking at one this weekend, and it was on a remodel box, and I was like, how is this thing not fell?
Amazing. Amazing. So ceiling fans, vanity lights, those are easy. You mentioned changing out switches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two that we just talked about, you'd recommend that we cut the power off at the panel.
Absolutely.
How do we find that?
Well, a good electrician would have had your panel labeled properly. And so if you open your panel door and you see a label that, say it's in your living room that you want to change out that switch, make sure that you cut off the one that says living room and then plug in a lamp just to be safe because a lot of times electricians will run through that house very, very quickly trying to get out of there and mislabel it. And that's not a good thing. I've done several that were mislabeled that got people burned.
Burned literally.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's not figurative, that's literal, mm-hmm, right? I think that is the one, it's difficult, especially when I'm changing out the ceiling fan in my upstairs office over the garage and my panels all the way down in my basement and I got to go back and forth or I got to get my wife on the phone, which is never fun.
Yeah.
Is it that one? Is it that one?
Yeah.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Is it that one? Is there any other easier way to do that?
Yes and no. You can buy the equipment to trip it itself, but that's going to be more than putting in your ceiling fan itself. But it's one of those is that is probably the easiest way to do it for a DIY is, call your wife. Hey, can you just cut this off that says living room or office upstairs and see if things go off? Because you never can be too safe.
So other than putting wallpaper up, I would say that's a great marriage test.
Yes.
Is to make sure you get all the power off. But you want to get that power off. Absolutely. Now we're going to change out some outlets,
mm-hmm,
all right? There's different kinds. There's a toggle, there's a decor,
mm-hmm,
but there are started to be some other new switches out there. What are you starting to see as some of the trends that people are doing with some of the switches?
The biggest one that I see so far is a fan speed control. that instead of pulling the chains on the ceiling fan, they can operate the speeds of the fan on their toggle switch by the door. That's a big one. Dimmers have always been popular, especially if you've got a new chandelier that you've hung in the foyer or the dining room, and that's the highlight piece of your room. Occupancy sensors for people who have children that forget how to cut off a light switch. I've actually got two of them in my house for my children because they forgot how to turn off a light switch. So if they leave the room, I'm cutting off the light.
So what are the age of your children?
Well, she's 17 right now, but she forgets how to turn on off light switches, and they're all on all over the house.
So yeah, funny you should say that, because I thought it was just my kids who are now 25 and 22, but for whatever reason, at the age of about 9, they forgot how to turn them off.
Yep.
And we were just going on vacation the other day, and they're all sitting in the car waiting for me at 4:30 in the morning to go to the airport with every light on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all come back, and when I got in the car, you know what I heard? Where have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, it's too early for me to say. So occupancy sensors, there's another one that may keep children alive.
Yeah.
Because you said she's 17 now. I used to say that about my son. He's 16. 17's looking iffy.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know if he'll make it through the day or she'll make it through the day, but.
Occupancy sensors, that's a great one. I love hearing that. So you can change out those switches, and obviously it helps. Love that, because you could walk into a laundry room with a laundry room full of, you got a laundry basket full of clothes. You don't have to turn on the switch. It turns on for you.
Yes.
So those are great.
Yeah, they're some of the best things. It just drove me crazy seeing my lights on all the time, and that's why I went. Also, I know one thing that I would suggest our listeners always do is go to LED.
So let's talk about this LED stuff.
Yeah.
It has really come on in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Right. So when it first came out, they were special.
Yeah.
And now you can find them everywhere.
Yep.
Which LED light do you think is the best?
It depends on your preference. For me, as I'm getting older, I want bright white. I want 5K. And that's the color temperature. It's a doctor's office kind of color.
Yeah.
You can go all the way down to a yellow color if you want. But for me, it also saves between 25 and 30% on your power bill, too, especially if you have children that keep their lights on. It reduces heat, so it helps your heating and cooling costs as well. So it's one of those is that when I moved into my place, I completely redid everything in LED and noticed a huge difference in the power bill.
So I've gone to buy some of these lights, and it says bright white, daylight.
Yep.
Yeah, in a natural light. There's all these different kinds. What does that all mean?
That's going to be what they call the color temperature. So if you look at these light bulbs and you see a bright white, it's going to be 5K usually, your doctor's office, dentist office kind of color, a white light. And the lower you go in those color temperatures, like a daylight, it'll be, you know, picture what it would be like with the sun coming up. A nice crisp yellow when the sun's coming over the horizon. So you can look at it that way, and it'll also give you a color chart on the back. They call the bright white, it's more of a blue, but I just think it's a bright white. But then as you further go down, the yellower the light gets.
Gotcha. Putting LED lights in, pretty easy to change them out, right? You just go in, you got a regular incandescent, and I remember when they said, when these first came out 10 years ago, that incandescents were no longer going to be made. So I panicked as well and bought a whole bunch of the incandescents.
Yes.
I now got rid of them. They're still there, but LED is still the way to go.
Yeah, the incandescents are slowly phasing out. If you can find them, good luck. I know some of the big box stores still have a few, but this weekend I was in one buying LEDs for my mother's house that I'm remodeling, and that's the only way I would go, because again, you leave the light on, it's costing you less money and less electricity.
So one of the things I did as well is I went and changed out a bunch of my can lights in my basement,
mm-hmm.
which are on a dimmer, to LED lights.
Yes.
I dimmed it all the way, but not all the way down, like 3/4 of the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And one light went off completely and all the rest were still dim. What's going on?
You can have a couple of different issues. The dimmer may not be rated for LED. It's probably the biggest issue that you have, or the LED bulbs that you put in aren't dimmable. So those are the only two things that it could be, is that the bulbs that were put in aren't dimmable, or the dimmer that was put in is an old basic incandescent or CFL dimmer that's not rated for LED.
So if you're going to change out the LEDs and you have a dimmer, probably a good idea just to go ahead and change out the dimmer as well when you're there.
Absolutely.
And get an LED-rated dimmer.
Yes.
Yeah, make a lot of sense there.
Yeah.
Get it. What are some cool things I can do in my house as a DIY? You talked about the occupancy sensor. What are some other cool things I could do?
Tell you, a lot of the biggest things that I see with the DIYs is plug mold. And that's one of those. It's like a long track piece with outlets on it. You just attach the wall and plug in instead of having to chew up your house and add outlets everywhere. I've seen plug mold. That's been a big one. I've seen, honestly, people do away with outlets in their kitchen and just use plug mold up in their cabinets. So it's one of those is that that's been the biggest DIY I've seen for people that just want their kitchen, their bathrooms, everything along those lines look not contemporary, not traditional, just something different.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's you're right, because on backsplashes, people don't want to see those outlets anymore. I get asked that all the time in remodeling. Is there any way I can get rid of all of them? And the first answer is, well, to code, you need to have them. But yeah, you can move them out of the way and out of sight lines.
Yes.
With what you just mentioned.
Yes.
So could you do it DIY? You could, in a remodeling situation like that. Again, anything behind the wall. Now we got to start talking about what electricians can do to help. What are some of those emergency calls that you guys are getting in? And tell me what an emergency sounds like.
Typically, with the emergency, ultimately the customer will dictate to us what the emergency is. I've had customers call us out at 2 a.m. in the morning and change their light bulbs.
Okay.
typically it's the DIY cutting off the main breaker inside the home, and it won't cut back on because it's an act of Congress to get those switches to come back up, and we'll go in and click, and you'll go, how'd you do that? And you got to put a little tukas into it to get it to reset.
So one of the ones that that personally happened to me, and this is going on 20 plus years ago, was I woke up in the morning and half the house was lit and the other half was not.
Mm.
I didn't know what to do. What is a typical solution? What was happening?
There's a couple of different things that can happen. I'll tell you the easiest way to check it is to turn on, if you have an electric dryer, turn that dryer on to high heat and see what happens with your lights. If they flicker and the other half of the lights come on, now we've got a different situation. I would always recommend calling your power company first to have them check their lines. And if the power company comes out and says, nope, it's not us, then call a licensed electrician, because typically you got a problem going on in your panel.
Yeah, in the situation that happened with me, and the odd thing was it happened to my neighbor about 2 years ago, was called the power company first. Power company came out, and where the power is being served from the street, one of the leads of mm-hmm. your phases had rusted out.
Yep.
And so they had to put him on temporary power. That was an emergency situation because the side that went out was the heating element. And it wasn't the winter for him. In my case, it was in the spring. It was not really an emergency situation.
Yeah.
But that's another example of when you would want to call, not an electrician first, call your power company if it's half the house out. But electrician, if you smell smoke in the house, if something smells like it's burning, get that power turned off, and then you can take your time and have your electrician come.
Yeah, always turn off that main breaker if you smell that plastic burning or something along those lines, and then call a professional out there to take care of it. In the situations where you got partial power, power company, just remember everybody, power company will come out there for free. If you call an individual first, a licensed electrician, they're going to charge you to come out, and you're going to fork over some money on an emergency basis just for them to tell you that it's the power company issue. So
yeah, I think
call your power company first.
Just by listening to this show, you've saved some money. Lightning Bug Electric, yeah. And we've got the general manager, Jason, sitting there talking to us about a number of things that they do. So what is the most common thing that you guys get called out for? Residential. I know you guys do commercial as well, but residential right now, if you had to rank your services.
Right now, the biggest thing would be troubleshooting. In a home, a light not working, a bedroom not working, something along those lines. And our professionals come in there. We take apart everything, make sure everything's up to good working order. That's number one. Number two is surge protection. Surge protection is absolutely huge. It is now mandated by our National Electrical Code as well. But that's one of the things I would recommend every single home in the Metro Atlanta area. Make sure that they have whole home surge protection.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Basically, it's, you would go to any of the big box stores and buy one of those plug-in units with the switches on it and plug your TVs and everything into it. This protects the entire house. Refrigerators, dishwashers, air conditioners, everything that's cord and connected, this protects it because it goes on the main surface of the house. It can either go on outside where your main breaker is, or it can go on the inside where your main breaker is, depending on the age of the home. Georgia is known for their bad thunderstorms, surges. You know, your neighbor down the road can turn on their air conditioner and you would have a surge come through your home as well. People don't see a lot of surges coming through their homes, but it does happen every single day, 24 hours a day.
So surge protection, how much are we talking? What's the range on that? I'm not going to hold you to a price.
Sure.
You're listening to this out there. How much should I expect to spend?
You could go anywhere from $500 to $1,500, just depending on how many panels you have in the home or so on and so forth. I would always go with a company that has a lifetime warranty on their product. That's the first question our listeners should ask is, does this product have a lifetime warranty? And what is the warranty? Now, what we install is a lifetime warranty with a $25,000 liability policy attached to it. So if that thing goes out, they call the manufacturers, they send them another one. And so that's good.
And my rule of thumb always with warranties has always been, the longer the warranty, the more that the manufacturer trusts that they have built a great product.
Yes.
And they have installers that know what they're doing who will back it up with a liability warranty. So that's clearly a very strong warranty on your part to go put surge protectors in for people's houses.
Yes.
And for $500 to $1,500, if you blow out your 10-year-old LG refrigerator, you're gonna go buy a new refrigerator. But if you had that surge protector in place, who knows, it might last for another 10.
Yeah, I always tell my customers too, you know, what's your deductible on your insurance? And if it's $1,000, which typically it is, I can save that for you. And that's where a lot of customers are like, yep, you know what, you're right. And so that's probably the biggest thing I can say for any person that has high-end electronics in their home, flat-screen TVs, or a refrigerator with a TV in it that gives you your grocery list once a week, is to absolutely put all that stuff on surge protection.
More and more electronics and more smart home stuff that we're putting in houses.
Yep.
So if I put this whole house surge protector in, can I take away those power strips that I have out there, or should I still keep those?
I would keep them as a secondary point because you can never be too careful. You just got to be careful what you buy with those secondary ones. I mean, if you're buying it from a big box store, read the fine print. Because a lot of times that fine print is going to lead you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down.
Right. Yep. A lot of good advice on the surge protection there and what's going on in the troubleshooting. You mentioned going back to that. A light just all of a sudden just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Whew. Well, you're going down a good one. Now, back, let's just say your house was built in the 50s. And you are a new owner that the house hasn't been done any upgrades. The biggest one is, like my grandparents, my family would always want to put a 100-watt incandescent bulb in. They'd leave it on all day long. Well, what it did, it cooked the wiring above the light. And that's where lights stop working. You pull it down and you've got nothing but burnt charcoal falling in your lap trying to take those lights down. So there's a lot of different things that happen when the light stops working in a 50s home. Typically, it's in the light box itself, but in something that was built in the 90s and stuff, that's a lot easier to track down. Usually, it's a loose connection inside the wall because new construction does a lot of different things differently than service electricians.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just hard to trace, and you got to see it. This is one where I've had people say that before. You know, your guys come in, and they're like, but they only left in an hour. I'm like, yeah. Well, I shouldn't have to pay that much. I'm like, well, I could have sent somebody who didn't know what they were doing, a.k.a. me. I could have been there all day and figured it out, and then you would have paid me for being there all day. You're paying them for their experience and their knowledge and their skill sets and the tools they're bringing, and that's where a licensed electrician, an electrician who's seen a lot, you actually brought up a number of things that maybe you've had that happen to you personally, but for me, I've seen a couple of these things, but he always brings up things to me that I'm like, yeah, that's a new one. And here's another new one. I moved into a new home and, well, it wasn't me, but I moved into a new home and I noticed that the owners before me had done an addition. Mm-hmm. And they did the addition to the house. But my inspector said I have open circuits.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. What is an open circuit?
Typically, what we see with home inspectors is an open circuit is usually one that doesn't have the ground attached to it. So when they plug in their $12 tester, the lights show that there's an open circuit, open ground with that. And that just basically means that the life safety wire that goes on it, the equipment, is not present at that time, or someone cut it. It could be present, but it's not connected. And so a lot of those different things do happen. That is a big call for us as well, especially in 1950s homes, 60s. A lot of those different times that we start adding those kind of life safety stuff in there.
So adding the life safety in there, if somebody has done something beforehand and something's just not, and I say something, in this case, if you've walked into a 1950s home, but you can clearly see something looked like the 2000s, yeah. It's been upgraded, it's been updated, probably has.
Yes.
And then you get somebody who tells you, hey, look, this says open. I have found that to be a huge rabbit's hole to go down. And you're going down and trying to figure out what's going on, and you don't know. It could be cut, could be this, could be that. That's where you need the licensed electrician to come in and give you assurance and life safety equipment stuff.
Yes, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. It's one of those is that we'll literally go in there and we'll start explaining a lot of that stuff, and it's foreign to a lot of people. But with life safety stuff, you just can't go wrong with it, especially with grounding on a home. Ground fault circuit interrupters, commonly known as GFIs, in a home, arc faults. I mean, technology is coming leaps and bounds to keep the typical homeowner safe and sound.
I love everything you're saying. We got Jason Radford on from Lightning Bug Electric. You're listening to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show. When we get back, we're going to talk more about what we can do around your house and what you can do to help yourself in your home. The Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show. I am filling in for Jim and Dan. I am Chris LaLamia with the Trusted Toolbox, and I am here talking with Jason Radford of Lightning Bug Electric. We've been talking all things Sparky Electric all the way around because these guys can take care of all the stuff around the house with you. So, Jason, one of the things that you and I were talking about during the break was wiring up for some of these electric cars and some of these other cool new stuff that's happening. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys have been doing for homes that growing electric.
Yeah, a lot of the different ones, the Teslas, the Ford Lightnings, the anything from GM, we'll go in and we'll pull your dedicated circuit for your car chargers, your fast chargers and stuff like that. That's really big. This time of year, because it seems like rebates are going insane with electric cars. I know Georgia Power's got a rebate. So a lot of people are diving into the electrical car industry as far as buying them and stuff. I would say to our listeners out there to be very careful about, you know, what you're going to buy, because the power demands on your home are very intense at night when you're charging your electric vehicle. So make sure that you call a licensed electrician, a reputable company like ours, Lightning Bug Electric, to come out and give you an assessment on if a 50 or a 60 amp car charger will be suitable for your home and not put your electrical system under duress.
So you said Georgia Power is giving rebates. Is it rebates for you guys to come in and put the chargers in?
We used to do that with Georgia Power with a company called Blink, but they'll give a rebate to the customer. I think the last one I saw was maybe $3,000 to a customer spread out over X amount of years, I'm sure. But yes, they give you a rebate because that's where they want to go with it.
Are you seeing that most people want to put these superchargers in their house, or are they just like, you know what, I'll just go get it out there and I'll go plug in and wait in line at Walmart and charge them up there?
I see a lot more of the people wanting to do them in their homes. They want to come home from work, they want to plug in their car. When they get up in the morning, they want to unplug it and take off.
I agree with you, because I have a couple friends who have electric cars, and the stories of their over their cross-country trips is that they do a great job of mapping you out, but you have to find a place to charge, and they don't tell you if some of the chargers are down. Now, in a country trip like that, over country trip, we don't have that benefit of being at home, but both of the people I'm talking about do not have superchargers at home, and I asked them why. And they just said, because we didn't have this problem before. So if for that convenience, how much would I expect to spend with you to put something in? And again, range is not going to hold you to it.
Sure. I would say anywhere from $400 to $800, just depending on what size charger you want. Because the larger the charger, the bigger wire that we got to pull. So, you know, typically these superchargers are about 50 amps, 60 amps. And, you know, they'll charge your car in about 4 hours. You know, if you just plug it into an outlet in your garage, it could take 8 to 12, you know, with work. How many people get 8 to 12 hours of rest a night anyway?
Right.
So it's one of those is that 100% have us come out, pull you the 240-volt circuit for your car charger, no matter what make or model you have, and you'll definitely see a difference in your charging times.
Yeah, I didn't think that was near as much as I thought to do this for the convenience. Again, if you're willing to go the electric route and you're going to save at the pump and you're going to do this, what's wrong with having that convenience factor, or at least a peace of mind knowing that I don't have to wait eight. You said eight, but I've heard 12 hours for a lot of cars to get charged to a point where they felt safe again or reliable enough to get to where they wanted to go and get going. So so you talk about that with the car chargers and that. Is there another thing that people are doing? Well, the thing I'm getting to is I saw this Tesla wall charger, man. I listened to Elon book and I saw that thing. Is that a real deal? Is that a real thing?
That is a real thing. That is the best way I can put it. It's an electric generator. So, you know, typically you have your standby generators that are outside, which are propane or natural gas. This is totally electric. Solar panels on the home, and it looks like one of the old gas station things that you used to put gas in. The station itself is pretty tall, but it is a great feature. I'm living out in the country, and so I'm looking into getting two for my home. And so if the power goes out, flip the switch, you're good to go.
Wow, that's talk about cutting edge stuff. That's really cool. I'm glad you guys brought that up. So, Jason, I'm going to turn back around. How many guys do you have working for you? Let's talk about your business a little bit.
Total, I've got about 35 employees right now. We're about 17 trucks strong and growing every day, looking for great electricians, great office staff. We're ever growing.
Your book of business, residential versus commercial, how much are you doing residential, commercial?
70% residential, 30% commercial.
In a commercial work, what are you doing? Who are you serving out there? Because they're probably listening as well.
Yeah, we'll do a lot of retrofits inside of a tenant space, which is converting them to LEDs from fluorescents. You know, we'll put the occupancy sensors in the bathrooms because sometimes adults don't know how to cut off a light switch. adding dedicated circuits for computer equipment, you know, UPCs, the whole nine yards. So we're fully serviced to do that. You know, so it's whatever your electrical needs, residential, commercial, or even industrial, we can do.
So how can people get a hold of you guys?
You can call us at 770-792-9790 or go to lightningbugelectric.com for all the details.
On lightningbugelectric.com, can we book online and get a service or get an estimate?
Yes.
So that's also a great feature that you guys offer as well, but trying to meet the customers where they're at. So if you have a need and you're listening to this and it's Saturday morning, you can just go out there right now while you're listening to this and go out there online and hit lightningbugelectric.com and you can put in your service request right there and those guys will come out there and help you with all that work around there. Jason, as we start to wrap up this segment, what did I miss? What else should we be knowing about electric stuff in the house? And what's your PSA?
Well, my thing is always safety first. With electricity, we see the results of electricity when we cut on a light switch, but we really don't see the damage that can be done to the human body if we start playing around with electricity. And that has always been my biggest PSA, is safety first, safety first.
Love that. So safety first, I would tell everybody out there, one of the big areas I want you to everybody be safe in is in your kitchen and your bath, where water and electric air, they don't mix, man. They just don't mix. So you should make sure you have good GFIs. And guess what? Those do wear out. they do get corroded, especially if you got a humid bathroom. You don't have a bath fan in there, mm-hmm. but you better have a bath fan in there if you don't, because it's not for the smell, it's for the humidity.
Yes.
We all know that, but we want to make sure that your electric is up to par. Everything Jason's brought up is one of those things that, can you save some money and not use a handyman? You bet, right? You know, at the Trusted Toolbox, I'll be the first to tell you, if you can do drywall yourself, great. You just save yourself some money. But don't try to save yourself some money on electric. Go ahead and spend the money with those guys, because that's where you're going to have peace of mind. Save your money on the other stuff. You want to do your own demolition? You want to do your own trash haul off? You want to do your own painting? Go ahead. Yeah, you know, listen at it. You can watch the YouTube channels. But you just don't watch YouTube and figure out how you're going to fix an open neutral. You're not going to go figure out how to get in a panel. I have seen too many people in a panel. I walked into a house and the guy was doing his own GC work, had the panel open, and the screwdriver was hanging in the panel. He was sitting it in the panel. Mm-hmm. It was live. I was like, he goes, hey, what do you think of that? I said, I think I'm going to walk the other way.
Yeah, if you're not careful and you short out something like that, the electricity, the sparks that come off of it can get hotter than the sun.
That's a great point. Jason, what offer do you have for our great listeners out there so that when they call Lightning Bug Electric, they know they're getting taken care of when they mention the All Four Seasons Home Show?
Well, the one that I would like to throw out to all these listeners is a free 40-point electrical home safety check. Basically, we come in and we check 40 different points of your homes, from your panel, your grounding, the polarities in your home, just to make sure that everything is in good working order in your home. And if there's not, we'll give you the recommendations to fix it. So if you mention this ad, we'll come out and we'll do a free 40-point home inspection.
There you go. Just by listening to this show, you got free stuff. You are listening to the Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show. Thank you, Jason Radford of Lightning Bug Electric, and take him up on that 40-point evaluation. It's free, and that's nothing. Get him out there. Let him take a look at it. These guys know what they're talking about. Lightning Bug Electric, Jason Radford. I'm Chris LaLamia, the Trusted Toolbox, and you're listening to Extra 106.3 All Four Seasons Home Show, brought to you by the great people at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Don't forget to download us and listen to us on the other episodes that we have out on the podcast, All Four Seasons Home Show. Until next time, keep your home safe.
This is an Extra 106.3 podcast. To hear more live and local content like this, tune into 106.3 FM or download the Extra 106.3 app.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.